Okay, we are picking up five lines from the bottom of Plamad Beis and Beis at the new parak of Ein Ben Hamoder Hanah. Our learning is once again sponsored Le'ilu Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov. The neshama should have an aliyah. So the Mishnah is comparing two different types in the Darim. Actually, some people who learn Megillah, Maseches Megillah, might be familiar with this Mishnah because this is in the Ein Bein Sugyas in Maseches Megillah, which Agav brought up different halachas of Ein Bein over there. So this is one of them that the Mishnah Megillah brings up in the first parak. So now the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us Ein Bein Hamuder Hanah Mechaviro. There's going to be no halachic difference between somebody who is forbidding benefit from his friend Lemuder Hanah Imenu Meichel and someone who the subject of the nether is only ossering food upon him. So a person can become, ossered to one of two ways, right? Reuven can make a nether forbidding himself from benefiting from Shimon's property, or Shimon can make a nether forbidding Reuven's property, on himself. So in either case, Reuven is forbidden to benefit from Shimon's property. So in both these cases, you're ossered to have benefit from him, from all of his property. And in the second case, someone who's saying that you're going to be ossering food. Reuven made a neder forbidding Shimon's food to himself, or Shimon had made a neder forbidding Reuven to have hanah from him. Again, in this case, Shimon is also to benefit from Reuven's food. What's the nafkamina, says the Mishnah? The halachic difference is eladrisas haregel, going on one's property. It's also to derive any benefit which would be qualified as a benefit, which is actually a shy. The Gemara's going to discuss this more, but in terms of the actual benefit, it sounds like from the Mishnah over here, but just the fact that I let you go on my backyard, wherever it is, that is going to be considered a benefit. Someone kind of that going, just walking through it is only going to be where it's a shortcut, but if that's a general way where everybody goes, and maybe it's even longer, that's not considered a physical benefit that we're talking about over here. So we have this machlokas we've shown it, but either way, you're not allowed, that's the nafkamina, v'kelim she'en osim ba'en ochel nefesh, and also things which people do not use in the preparation of food. Someone who's forbidden to derive any benefit whatsoever, obviously would not be allowed to have any hana. Whereas someone who makes a neder specifically regarding food, so then he's allowed to use utensils which have nothing to do with food. The Gemara is going to explain what was the neder and how does it work. But that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Second halacha from the Mishnah: Hamuder Ma'icham Achaveru. If somebody makes a neder that forbids food to his friend, Lo yishalad anafa v'kvar v'rechayim v'tanar. So you're not allowed to lend him a flour sieve or a grain sieve or mill or an oven. The Gemara again is going to discuss this. But this is already, the Ran just points out he's bothered that this was already implied by the Mishnah's previous statement that told us that things are not used for food preparation is going to be okay. That's the nafkamina. That implies things that are used for food preparation are clearly usher. So the Ran points out that over here, just from the implicit teaching, I would have thought that only utensils that directly prepare food are going to be what's usher. Like he gives an example, like a pot. But something else, like a pot, but something which is only like a sieve or a mill, which is not a final product of food, maybe I would have thought that is permitted. So therefore, our Mishnah has to state explicitly that is going to be usher. You are allowed to lend him a shirt, a ring, things that have nothing to do with food. So the Gemara is going to discuss this, whether or not this was just mentioned agav, or is this actually coming to teach us a chiddush that with regards to maybe how it works with clothing. We're going to see the Gemara is going to analyze this point again. Okay, so the Mishnah told us that someone who's when it comes to drisas haregel going on the property, the Gemara is wondering who is this Tana, man Tana, that says that it's going even that this benefit of walking on a person's property is considered a benefit which the Tana is going to aser. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ada Bar Ahava, Rabbi Eliezer. This is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. The son, as we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Afilu Vitur Aser B'Mudar Hana. That even like these extra things are going to be usher to someone who is subject to a neder that prohibits benefit from one to another. If Reuven usher Shimon to not have benefit from him, so then even these extra little things that generally are added are going to be usher. So what are we talking about here? Like an example, if I generally sell oranges, so I sell them, I sell them by, 10 pounds at a time. So you're selling 10 pounds, it's a ton of oranges. You're going to get tons and tons of oranges. So usually, like you're there in the store, I'll give you just a taste right now. I'll give you a few oranges just to taste. So these, and that was like a common practice we used to do when you're buying in bulk, you'd give them an extra thing. So something like that, that would normally be, that's called vitor. That's like an extra because you're buying so much from me, I'm just giving you this extra thing. Stores do that all the time. They give you like a small gift if you're buying a large purchase. So here, Rabbi Lezer holds that this extra is usher. But even though they're considered a benefit, even though this is something where you're buying a tremendous amount, and everybody does it, the way that you always give this gift after the guy buys a big amount, that is still going to be usher. The Chacham disagree with Rabbi Lazar. They hold that in the context of Vitor, this extra that you're giving is not considered actual benefit. So if Reuven made this neder, according to him, then you would be allowed to go on his property, because people don't care if you're just walking on the side, like on the sidewalk by their property to go through. That's not considered a benefit at all. The Ran implies that the Chachamim would permit it because they're not considered hana. That's a big shayla. That's the Ran's definition. Others disagree. The Turi Evan, other Achronim, they say that no, not that it's not necessarily hana, but that the Madir had in mind when he made the neder that this type of hana is not included in his neder. So there could be an afkamina between the two, but that is the point that the Ran is making over here. That either way, this is considered benefit and usher according to Reb Eliezer. So that's what we're pointing out, that our Mishnah is according to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so that's in the Mishnah, Vayter. Hamoder Meichel Mechaver Lo Yeshaleno Nafa Kvara, those things, right? You're not supposed to lend him a flower, all these different things, a mill, oven, those things you're not allowed to lend, but you're allowed to lend him the shirt and the other things. So now, turning on to the top of Lama Gimel Malef, says the Gemara, Vaha Min Meichel Nader. Why should these items be usher? The person says explicitly that I'm being madir food. I never said the utensils that are helping prepare food. The word Meichel, Rishona point out, implies food itself, not the preparation of food. So what's going on over here? So it says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Ba'omer, Hanas Ma'al Chalcha Alai. The Mishnah is speaking of a case where the Madir says, the benefit of your food is usher on me. So since he added the word Hanas, which is the benefit, he means to include all items involved in the production of the food, which is the way to get to that food. And therefore, he meant to say anything that's leading to the preparation and the consumption of food. And therefore, he means also the utensils that are helping you prepare it. So the Gemara's understanding that the Madir is going to be understood, even though these items are not for the benefit of the food, but its cause, that's what we're assuming is also part of the benefit that he said. So the Gemara has a problem with this, though. Ema shalalilos chitin v'itin amakasa. You can mean that when you say the benefit, maybe meant the benefit also was indirectly done with food in the way that he's telling you that he's not going to chew your wheat kernels and place them on his wound. That was a time in the Gemara. They assumed that this was a type of mechanism to make something a wound better, and therefore, or maybe it was, I'm sure it is, but it's a type of healing thing. So this was not suggesting this would be included even as neder. That's the chiddush over here. So that means that the benefit of food might be, I would have thought, is implying that it would imply anything against the way normal food is eaten, and that's what the extra hanas meichel is saying. You, even if it's a non-edible way that people do it, you're not eating it, but you're chewing the chewed wheat on your wound. Even that, you're being making the neder, and therefore, it's still again would not be inclusive of the way to prepare food, which means the utensils. So again, our kasha is that this seems to not suggest the utensils, the preparational stage. So we have to explain the Mishnah differently. So Amar Rava be'omer hana hamevi l'dei ma'achalcha. That the Mishnah is talking on a case where the Madir says, a benefit that brings me to the consumption of your food, that's going to be usher to me. So this does tell us that the food used is going to be usher. That is the way the Gemara is understood. The Ran is a little bit of a different gear. So the Ran says, he doesn't say ma'achalcha, rather ma'achal, your food. That specifically implies that food more is the benefit. Ma'achalcha might be a little bit different. But Ran is understanding that this is, either way, that's the way that we're explaining the Gemara. It's very similar between us and the Ran. And the Ran just points out that there are Rishonim that explain that they say that this would include that even the chewed wheat would also be usher in this final version. And the Ran doesn't like that. He says that the words hanas ma'achal, or hanas ma'achal, maybe nafkamina, but his version of hanas ma'achal, that a benefit that's bringing the food, that does not imply a restriction against placing chewed wheat kernels on one's wound. And instead, the Ran is telling us that only those two things are going to be asr. Meaning that in this final version of Rava, the food is going to be asr, and the way to prepare food is asr. But the fact that he's allowed to chew the wheat kernels and put them on his wound, says the Ran, that is not something which is going to be usher based on this formula of the Mishnah. So, and in that case, if a person does say, what comes out, though, according to the Ran, if you say the Lashon before that we had, that the case of Hana'as Machal Chalai, so then if you say Hana'as Machal Chalai, that would in fact indicate that you're not going to chew it and put it on your wound. That's how the Ran wants the Taina to explain our Mishnah. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Papa, Sak Lahavi Peros, a sack to bring fruit, v'chamer lahavi alav peros, a donkey which to bring fruit, v'afilu tzana be'alma, and even just a basket, a normal basket, which is not normally used for storing food and not transporting food. All these things, hana mevili di maichalu, are considered examples of something that would in fact bring someone to the consumption of food, which should therefore be usher. So when a person takes an eder, avanas machalchalai, he may not use the other person's sack, the donkey, their basket. Because, the Ran points out, I would have assumed this neder formula is only items that are preparing food directly, like the sieve or the mill, or things like that. This is specifically for transport or storage. That would be mutter. So that Rav Papa has to clarify that these things are also, in fact, usr. It's fine. So says the Gemara by Rav Papa. Rav Papa had a question, though. Sus lirchov alav etabas lirospa. What about a horse? Which is a, you know, like a person who shows up to a big party, it's a big banquet, he comes up in the fanciest car, right? A Lamborghini, whatever the fanciest car is. So people are going to treat him very chashuv when he opens, you know, comes out of that fancy car. So here, person's coming on a very fancy horse to the banquet. People are going to treat him better. He's going to be, you know, treated nicer at the banquet. He's going to be at the chashuv table. So, and also tabas lirazba, or to show people his big spitzy ring that he wants to wear that he's borrowing. So is that considered anas meichel or not? Ma, what's the halacha? Is this considered anas meichel? Because it's kind of like Ram points out, like the one side is that this is going to increase his food at the banquet. He's going to be getting, everyone's going to treat him better, going to get him more portions, they're going to think he's a chashuv, of a rich person, and therefore he's be getting more food. So that would be under the category of anas meichel. So his friend can't lend him these things. He can't lend him the horse or the ring, because these things are considered something which would increase his food benefit. Or we could say, like, it's a lashon Ram uses, like grama be'alma. Oh, he's having benefit from the ring or whatever, but the fact that they're gonna give him more food at the party, that's such an indirect cause of his thing, and we can't call it necessarily Hanas Meichel of the Neder, and that would be fine. So the Gemara says a similar question. Mivsak umezel ba'are. What about taking a shortcut through the property in order to get to the banquet quicker? Because now you'll be able to eat more, and when you get there quicker, my, what's the halacha? Is this also considered a benefit to, of food or not? Okay, so that's also, do we assume that the sack is usher because that maybe those things that we had before, that directly with the food, with regards to the things that we mentioned in the beginning, when it comes to the sack and the donkey, those things are direct, and here it's also, again, less direct. Or could we assume that, no, this is going to be including the person in getting him to the food faster, in which case that would also be considered a direct benefit. Tashma. So we want to bring a proof from a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says explicitly that someone is permitted to lend him a shirt and a jacket, whatever it might be, or a ring and different type of earrings and rings. So those are all going to be okay. So the Gemara says, hey, Kedem, what's the case of the Mishnah? And you're going to tell me that the case of the Mishnah is that there's not going to, not to be seen with them at the banquet. That was not, so then, why do you have to tell me at all that I'm allowed to lend you a ring to use in your house, to show your wife, whatever it might be? That I'm allowed to, that, what was the Havamina to be us? It has nothing to do with food. We're talking again, we're talking about the case where someone's madir or not from food specifically. So this has nothing to do with food. So what's going on over here? So it's talking about the case of the Mishnah means that it's to be seen with them at the banquet in order to be served very nicely, and then everyone's going to give you better treatment at the banquet. And yet the Mishnah says that Katani Mashilo, our Mishnah says that one in fact may lend him these objects. So we see a raya that a grama in bringing you to more food is going to in fact be mutter. And this is considered grama, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Says the Gemara, no, lo. La'olam shilo le'ra'os. We're talking about, really, we're talking about a case where it is not the borrower's intent to be seen with these items. And there is no chiddush at all with the second half of the Mishnah, but it's rather the way that Mishnayos are many oftentimes mentioned. V'aydi diktani resha lo yishalenu tana sefi mashkilo. Many times, again, you have to keep in mind, we mention this all the time, we used to memorize Mishnayos. So to keep it parallel, then to remember, oh, you're not allowed to do this, we mentioned something you are allowed to do. Just remember that you can remember the inverse, you can remember the opposite side, that you'll remember it. But and in Achanami, there is no chiddush in halacha that a person who asks for his benefit to his friend is allowed to lend him a shirt and the earrings and the like. There is no chiddush to that, and therefore what comes out is we're just trying to say the ID, the ziktadi, is just a way to remember it, and it has no inherent chiddush. So what comes out is that we don't have a proof, and therefore the Ran points out, there is no answer. We've just rejected the proof saying that something by a grama to bring more food is going to be usher. So therefore we hold that the safek deraisa l'chumra, therefore the midaraisa, we're going to assume that it is usher. The Ramban points out though, when we hold safek deraisa l'chumra, we're not going to give you, if a person violates this halacha, he takes a sus and he gives it to his friend, we're not going to give him malchus for such a thing. We wouldn't give you malchus because that is not something which is vaday aser, and therefore you're not going to get malchus for that. Okay, now this Mishnah seems to be following up, and maybe even part of the same Mishnah, which is broken up by the Gemara, but the Mishnah continues, V'chol davar she'in osim b'ochol nefesh, and regarding any utensil which we do not prepare food in, l'alacha is mako maskirin kiyotzba, in a place where generally rent out these things, then it's going to be aser. As the Ran points out, in a place where they generally rent it out, and you're giving it to him for free, so then you're letting him borrow it, so that would be hana hamevili de maicholu, because that the money that you could have used to, or you would have had to use to borrow it from, to pay for it, to use it from somebody else, that is going to be, that schar, which your mochalim is going to be able to allow you to more food, which is therefore going to be usher in this case of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, now, michlal, the reisha afa pisha ein maskiri. That implies that from the Mishnah's case, by implication, that the Mishnah was talking in the first race, in the race of our Mishnah, the Mishnah meaning our Mishnah on Lamed Beis and Beis that we mentioned over there, that the person is not allowed to lend them a flower, that's talking about a case, that even though the people do not rent out those items, even though you're not renting out those items, and therefore you generally get them out for free, him giving it to you to borrow is still considered a benefit. But wait a second, why is that considered so? If everybody lends them out, that's not considered a direct a greater benefit because everybody lends them out. So Gemara asks, Mantana, who must be the Tana that said that even though it's something which is still a gift, even though there is no and maybe inherent monetary value because everybody lends them out, who says that's usher? We already said this before. Amar Avada Bar Ava, that's the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. The Shita we already mentioned by Rabbi Eliezer that usher is the extra things, right? The Vitor. He says Vitor is usher. This must also follow that opinion because here is something which is going to be, this is going to be something which is generally for free and yet we're considering that a benefit over here. Fine. Says the next Mishnah. Hamoder hana mechaveru. Somebody who makes hana that forbids its benefit from his friend. Shokel et shiklo. He's allowed to pay the machzis a shekel. So Reuven is usher by neder to derive benefit from Shimon. Shimon is allowed to still pay the machzis a shekel to the base of Middash. So there was the machzis a shekel was given. A person, right, has to give the machzis a shekel to bring for the karbanos tibor. So a person didn't bring it, he would actually be forced to pay. They would force him to pay no matter what. They would, like, you know, they can give you malchus until you pay. So Mitch is teaching us that Shimon paying is not going to be considered a benefit. The Gemara is going to discuss why this should be. And similarly, you could repay if Reuven owes Shimon money and Levi made a neder against making hana from Reuven. So Levi could still pay off the debt to Shimon. That's still considered okay. And then we're going to see why that is. Also you could return his lost object. In a place where people take money for, meaning in a place where you have to take off time from work to go get the article, the thing that you lost, in those places, people are not like this. That benefit should go to the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, the Gemara is going to again discuss this, not to Lamede, but we'll get to that in Mirtz Hashem as well. So now, the Gemara wants to explain why you're allowed to pay the Machzis Shekel. So says the Gemara, Alma Avruche Ari Ba'almahu. We see that this is literally chasing away a lion. That over here, that Shimon, in our example where Levi is paying for Reuven's debt to Shimon, even though Levi made a neder hana, so this is just avruchei ari. As the Ran points out, that when it comes to actual inherent benefit, someone who's just taking away a lion off of your property, that's not giving you benefit, that's just preventing a loss, that's different. So when Shimon is paying off the debt, when Levi is paying off the debt, to Reuven's debt, and he pays Shimon, so then he's not giving any benefit to Reuven, he's just driving away the Ari, the person who's going to be attacking him for money, he's just driving him away. And then similarly, also, the case of Machzis HaShekel, even though at the end of the day, Levi is paying the Machzis HaShekel for Reuven, you're still going to be stopping him from having the Gizbar come to him and make him pay. So that again, that's the point of here. And the Ran points out, Lachor, that's because of the idea that we already have in mind that everything is going to be in Tormin ala Avud, vela Gavay, vela Asin Ligvos. So that also is not going to be considered giving him a benefit because they have in mind those people are going to be given, those are lost. And we must be talking about a case, the Ran thinks, that where it's going to be in that circumstance and you're paying it off, and therefore, since they're eventually going to collect it, that's not a problem. Fine. So the Gemara says, Man Tanya, who is this opinion? Amar Rav Hoshea, Zu, turning on to the next Tanya now. Divrei Chananhi, this is the opinion of Chanan. We actually just had this in the end of Maseches Ketubos, our last Maseches that we learned. We had a bunch of Machlokas, Chanan and the Bnei Kohen Gadolim. So here we had Chanan tells us that if a person voluntarily gives a woman needs mezonos and the husband goes away and the guy voluntarily gives it to her, so then when the husband left and went on a trip overseas, he can no longer, when a guy comes back, the guy cannot demand compensation from the husband. And again, this is even a bigger chiddush, because there's generally a concept where the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us that yored lotzol sadeh chavero shelo midaito. A person, like for example, Shimon goes into Reuven's property and he plants something without telling Reuven. So the halacha is that Reuven has to pay him for the benefit of what he had done and helped him out. So Chanan understands that if Reuven benefited Shimon by just stopping him from a loss, so that is not actually considered increasing his assets, and therefore you don't have a claim against him. That's the shita of Chanan. Rav Amar, so that we're going to see that Zakshim Machlokas, the Gemara is going to get into this more. So since our Mishnah also again tells us that you're not allowed to give benefit, yet this is mutter, this matz shekel, and also paying off the debt, that must be the shita of Chanan, because you're just being mavriach ari. So says the Gemara, Rav Amar, afilo tema divrei hakol, you can understand that our Mishnah is actually everybody, and even the Rabbanan, who say that you're obligated to pay the person back, would also line up with our Mishnah. How would that be? Because we could say, Gabe Modera now, with regards to someone who makes a neder that prohibits benefit, Diyayiv Almanas Shilot Lifroa. We must be talking about a case speaking of where the Malve originally gave the loan to the person who's the Love, who's the person who you made the neder against, not giving a benefit on condition that he doesn't have to give it back at any specific time. So since the person is the person you made the hanaf, again, in our example, where Levi made a neder against benefiting any giving any benefit to Reuven, and now Shimon lent Reuven money, but Shimon's stipulation for the money that he's making with, for the tznai that he's making with Reuven, is that Reuven can pay back whenever he wants. So since he can pay back whenever he wants, so then it's not considered as if you're actually giving him any benefit, even according to Rabbanan, because you're never going to necessarily repay it, and therefore that would also, therefore you never can force him, and therefore since you can never force him, that's not considered a benefit according to Lekulei Alma. Therefore, it's not considered a benefit Lekulei Alma. And similar with the guy to Matzich Shekel, I have to make the Okimta that would also be the Rabbanan, because we must be talking about a case where there's a big Okimta. You have to make that case. The round points this out. You have to explain that it means in a situation where the town already collected all of the Matzich Shekel and the money got lost or was stolen on the derech to the base of Middash. So then they're halachically exempt from replacing the money. However, in practice, there was a minhag that they used to give their place the money. So in our example, we're talking about a case where Reuven didn't necessarily pay it. You don't have an inichiv to pay it at all, but there was this minhag that everyone used to pay it. So therefore, if Levi decides to pay it, that's not considered benefiting from him, because halakhically, wasn't obligated mamish to bring the masses of shekel, and therefore, that would be the situation over here. And therefore, our mission lines up with everybody, even though the halacha does follow Chanan, still we would like the mission line up with everybody. That's what Rava says. My Chanan. So now the Gemara says, what is this machlokas Chanan and Chachamim? This Chanan, we learn the Mishnah Ksubis, we already made reference to because we have to understand it. This was the Mishnah talking about Mishalach Labinda Sayam, someone whose husband went overseas and he left his wife without any way of support. And someone came and supported his wife while the wife was away. Chanan Amar Ibed Esmosav, he lost his money because you can't get the man compensation, as we mentioned, because that's he could say to you, I didn't want to, I wasn't necessarily going to, that was just the not necessarily, that's not considered your tov sadeh chaver shlo medaita, because it's only mavriach ari. So the Gemara says, nechako ala b'nei kohanim gedolim, v'yamro yeshava kama otzivito, he should swear about how much money he spent on her support, and you would be allowed to collect that money back from the husband. Amar Ribidosa ben Herkanas, kidivrayim, Rebekanos medeir, he says that like he said that this Mishnah could be like their opinion. Amar Biyocha Mizaki, yafe amar Chanan, Chanan says that the person put his money on the horn of a deer, meaning you lost your money. It's an expression. You put it on the keret tzvi and it ran away, and it's like you gave your money away. So now the Rabbi Yoshia understood that our Mishnah and the Matzah Shekel is going to be the opinion of Chanan, whereas Rava says that is lekuli alma. So there is Rava lamar Rabbi Yoshia, we're going to pay to come bukim lalamas nitzikli rakol. Even though Rava has to make an ukimta in the Mishnah, he'd rather the opinion of everybody be lined up with the Mishnah. Even though, as we pointed out, we're be pasi like Chanan in the Mishnah and Ksubas over there. Still, we would like a stam Mishnah to be lekuli alma, especially because you don't mention a machlokas over here. And if it is a machlokas, maybe we should mention it. Ravoshia lo marker Rava. Ravoshia doesn't say like Rava and speak of that those two cases because gzeira shaloi par mishum lipara. He thinks that case also is a problem. He thinks that case is also a problem because at the end of the day, the person over here, we should make a gzeira that at the end of the day, some that this item has to, even though you don't necessarily have to repay it, because maybe there's going to be many loans which are mentioned at a case which is later, which is going to be something which you do have to pay. So therefore, says the Gemara right now that would be a gzeira in which you therefore would have to, it would not be allowed. It would not be okay. And that is a problem. To pay back, even with no date on it, still it's a problem. Says the next Mishnah, Mafsir lo avedasai. The person can return his lost item to him. So Gemara says, Pligi bar Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yasi. Chadamar lo shanu ela shenichle lo shanu ela bishen nichse mafsir asur nal bei alaveda. When is this halacha that you're allowed to return a lost object? That's only when the benefit is going to be that the person who makes the neder, the property of the person returning it is forbidden upon the owner of the lost who lost it. So when the person returning the item to the owner, is just returning the owner's item, his own thing to him. But if the guy who lost the item, if the property of the owner of the lost item is forbidden upon the person returning it, I hope I said the opposite in the previous case, that the other person is not allowed to bring it back, because he's going to be giving him the benefit of pruta of Yosef. The pruta of Rav Yosef, maybe we'll actually pick up with this because a little bit I want to get into it because it gets into Osik Mitzvah Patra Mitzvah. But at the end of the day, Prut of Yosef is that the person who is, I think we're going to pick up from Chadamar and then get more into this. But the Prut of Rav Yosef means that a person is, when he is watching the item, he's considered a Shomer Sachar. Why? Because for the purposes of the, what does he have to pay back? It's a big machlokas about this, but he's considered a Shomer Sachar because if an ani comes, a poor person comes right when he was watching the item, the halacha is osik mitzvah pata mitzvah, and therefore he doesn't have to pay. So since that theoretically happened, we view him as a shomer sachar. I'm going to get more into this and explain it in Mitzvah Hashem with more background. We'll pick up from this tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. We'll pick up a Chadamar and back to Rav Yosef just to clarify this point in Mitzvah Hashem in tomorrow's daf.